You're listening to Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. Well, I must tell you a couple of things. It's a good thing I'm here. I must tell you, I am here. I am doing it. And Irma was a scary thing. Do you know what I heard? You know, Barbudo, if you've been there, do you know there's not a single person left there? I mean, they had 1,800 people and they quickly moved them to Puerto Rico. But they said there's nothing left. I mean, it's a small island, obviously, but there's just nothing left. It'd be like sweeping everything off the front of your dining room table. There's just nothing left over there. You know, I have to tell you, I watched this thing, and the fact is, sure, everybody saw what was going on with Harvey. We saw it coming through. We saw it get through the islands and go above Puerto Rico, and it's still smashing people up like crazy. And I'm sitting here going, well, I'm afraid it's going to hit Miami, but it doesn't seem to be coming here. And then all of a sudden, it seems to be hitting Miami, and then it's like, oh, no. And I'm looking at my phone at like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's going, next stop, Tampa Bay. And I'm like, well, damn, I'm not in the mood for this. I'm not even a tiny bit in the mood for this, but that's exactly what happened. And I have to tell you, I did this and I was pretty good. And I thought to myself, I will always sit through a category 3 hurricane. I'm looking out where I am and I'm not, I mean, you know, I'm close, I'm on the water, all that stuff. But I thought I could go through a category 3. I'm pretty good with it. And then all of a sudden people kept saying, you know, we're all going to meet in this one house and this one person just recently built this house and it's like a category 3 hurricane and it's really good, blah, blah. And so we said, okay, we're going to do that. So I changed my mind. I went there. I'm so sorry that I went there. It wasn't even funny. But you know, one of the things that I saw that was the weirdest thing, and I've seen it one other time here, and I've spent a good portion of my half of my life here in Florida. And at one point, Irma came along and it sucked the bay out into the Gulf. And there was like from my seawall, it went about a half a mile out. And it was an amazing thing to see. And then when it came back in, that's when we were going to get squished. But for some reason, it all came in. Water got on the streets and it went back down. It wasn't like we were flooded the way so many other people are. I don't know. If you know, one of the things that we're going to talk to somebody that tells us about Miami, that they still don't have Miami down there. I mean, they're trying to do the radio station, but nobody has electric down there. And I'm like, you know what? I went for about 4 days, and I have friends right now that still don't have electric right now. People are coming over to my house. I just have tons of towels and, you know, just here's towels. I'm just throwing them in the laundry and people are plugging in their phones. They still don't have it right now. At least I have it because I'd be crazy if I didn't in all of that. But it was weird and people are running and people, by the way, all the people that wrote to me, I had no idea that I knew that many people, but I did. I mean, people were writing to me from Seattle and California and Santa Fe and Boston and Chicago. And are you all right? Are you all right? People I hadn't seen in years were like, are you all right? Well, I am right now. So I pretty much was very happy that I got it done. But it was a scary thing. It really was kind of a scary thing. And it's funny when you're there in the middle of it, too. You don't really think, especially when it's on the Atlantic coast, you don't ever think it's coming here. If it's in the Gulf of Mexico, you're a mess. But it was kind of scary for everybody in the whole wide world. We have things to talk about. You know me, I got more TV to tell you about, and we'll do that on the other side. But I have to tell you what's going on in the whole place, which is the West Coast Bureau Chief of the Global Babe Network is in the house with us. And we will spend the day talking because I love talking to him. He's coming now, right now, because it's the Babecast. John Clayton coming up now.
Hey, how are you?
Let me just ask you something. I'm going through Irma and all that stuff down here, but I think people on the East Coast have really seen this. But John, tell me what's going on the West Coast. I mean, there's horrible fires in California, and Portland's like a mess right in the gorge and stuff. What do you see? Anything from Seattle or what do you see?
Seattle's been great. It had like 71, 72 consecutive days of 70 degree weather. I mean, it's hardly rained at all in like 2.5 to 3 months. It's been great.
But what about the rest? I mean, when you're looking down there, are there a lot of fires and people are really upset about it?
Yeah, there are. I mean, in fact, there was a couple of days last week, about maybe 4 days, where it was just ash all over the place. But
ash from what?
Fires.
Oh, you mean the ash was going up there? I got it. Because a friend of mine said to me, she couldn't see for a couple of days out there, and then the sun came out.
Like about 4 or 5 days.
And I hope nothing happens to Seattle. We like it too much. Don't tell anyone that.
Well, no, it's been good.
Now, let me just tell you, so you're busy doing stuff, but I have things to talk to you about. One of which is, first of all, let's find out what happened with the Seahawks. Are they that concerned because they lost a game, even though it was against the Packers?
Okay, are we starting right now?
Yeah, let's start right now. Why not?
Okay, that sounds good.
But go ahead and talk about. Let's talk about the Seahawks and what happened there with the Green Bay Packers stuff.
It's kind of deja vu all over again. I mean, the offensive line remains a problem, and that's the thing that held them back from the Super Bowl last year. May have held them back the last couple of years, but they keep on trying to reconfigure the offensive line, and it just doesn't seem to work. You know, they've got blocking problems. You know, Russell Wilson had no time to throw. They only had 49 plays because they couldn't generate any first downs, and they couldn't run the ball. I mean, the running backs had 15 carries for 43 yards. I mean, the only thing that worked was Russell Wilson getting 2 carries for 40 yards. So they've got to fix that. And, you know, Green Bay played a surprisingly good game on defense. You know, they had not, you know, that wasn't their forte, but they actually played pretty well. But a lot of it had to do with the bad offensive line blocking.
Well, what do you think? I mean, do you think people who are Seattle nuts, and I don't blame them, that are they crazy come up in the second game? Because after all, it is the first game, even though we think it's the end of the world.
Yeah, it's the first game against a team that they think they probably are going to be fighting for a championship game. So I think you don't overpanic that. What you look at is that, okay, what did they do on defense? On defense, they held Aaron Rodgers at home to 10 points. Now, I know it was 17-9 as far as the final score, but a missed block got to Russell Wilson inside his 5-yard line. He fumbled. They took it in on one play, and that's their one touchdown. But, I mean, they bottled him up. They didn't score a point in the first half. This defense may not be as good as 2013, but it's in the conversation. It is deep. They have 8 Pro Bowl players on the defense. They add Sheldon Richardson to a defensive line that has Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, Frank Clark, who is a rising star with 10 sacks last year. This is a good defense, and I think it's only going to get better. Teams are going to have a difficult time running and scoring against this team.
John, one of the things that I'm wondering about is we've got Houston and Cincinnati. Houston, we thought you're home. It's been that horrible Harvey thing, blah, blah. And they got absolutely killed by Jacksonville. So we've got a game in Cincinnati. It's Houston going to Cincinnati. I mean, I don't see Houston winning that one either.
I know, but we are talking about the two of the 4 most disappointing teams in week 1. I mean, Cincinnati was home, and their offensive line, which, of course, remember, they elected to let Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, their 2 best offensive linemen, go, and they get 5 sacks. They took 2 draft choices, first 2 picks, 2 rounds in 2015, and they just didn't work out. So 5 sacks on Andy Dalton, too many turnovers and a shutout. But Houston right now, Houston, we've got a problem. Yeah. Look at the difficulty they have. They had 5 guys with concussions. The offensive line is terrible, and they were 10 sacks against Jacksonville. And so now they make the quarterback change with the rookie, Deshaun Watson. He's going to have to go out there with an offensive line where he's going to be scrambling the entire game. I think this one is pretty one-sided going towards Cincinnati.
Well, let me ask you something. If you're Houston, you put the young quarterback in, he gets thrown in the middle of this, and you're sitting there going, well, we don't like the other guy. We like this guy now, and there's Colin over there. What's the deal with him? I mean, would they not say we need another quarterback and go for Colin in some place, or at least give an opportunity?
I can't see it happening. I mean, even though, again, he's certainly qualified with his ability, he doesn't necessarily fit the style of quarterback that Bill O'Brien likes. Now, of course, I can say that knowing that Deshaun Watson doesn't fit the style because he's more of a runaround quarterback, and what Bill likes is more of that pocket passing type of quarterback. And so I just don't see the fit. I don't know where Bob McNair, the owner, stands as far as some of the things. I can probably see that he might have a problem with it, but, you know, Kaepernick, I know it might have been in part of the conversation, but it's not going to happen in Houston.
So that's not going to happen there. Let's talk about the other ones. You know, I'm the best Patriots fan in the world, have been since I was 5 years old. I'm watching it, and Kansas City just comes in and kills them in the middle. They ran up over 500 yards on this team.
Yeah, it was amazing because I never thought that I would have to say the sentence that Alex Smith went into New England and Foxborough and beat Tom Brady. He put 42 points and more than 350 yards on them. You know, certainly there was a question, I think, going into the season about their pass rush, the Patriots, and of course that question was certainly exposed because Alex Smith had all the time in the world to do whatever he wanted, including throwing deep, which is something that he usually is not that great at doing. But, you know, you've got to have more pass rush. Remember, the Patriots did this by letting a trade with Chandler Jones go to Arizona. They tried to get Coney Ealy. That didn't work out. Rob Ninkovich, he's retired, so they don't have much who can rush the passer. So that's going to be a problem for them all season. It's up to Tom Brady to fix it up, and Tom couldn't fix it up in week one. I'm sure he's going to be able to do it the rest of the season.
You know, you mentioned the Coney Ealy thing. I remember when he came out, I thought he was winning really good, and it didn't happen. And then he went to the Patriots, and the Patriots kind of – was there something wrong? Was it just one of those draft choices we got crazy about early?
Yeah, it's just one where you think you have it, but you don't have it. Now, again, we'll see if he can resurrect something in a 3-4 defense with the New York Jets. But, you know, last year, with an aging group at defensive end, Carolina thought that he was going to be the answer, and he wasn't. And I think the thought is he's maybe more of an inside rusher than an outside rusher. But, you know, for Bill to give up on him like he did, particularly with the needs that he has at pass rusher, that I think is a big statement. And so, you know, if you don't get the pressures, you don't keep the guy.
You know, there, as I look at today, and it's only two games into it, but we love talking with you, John. But, you know, when we look at it like that and I go, okay, so the Giants failed miserably at Detroit, but now they're home, blah, blah. But do you really have to sit through five games and figure out what your team is really doing? Or maybe you have to go 10 games with it?
You have to go five games, and it's because you can't go old school, because right now it's a different type of game. I mean, first off, you have the problem that coaches have. They don't have enough time and enough hitting ability with the players to develop and get them ready for the regular season. And so that's problem number one. Problem number two, there's a growing problem with the development of offensive lines. I counted up there's maybe 10 very good offensive lines in the league. Two of those, Philadelphia and Washington, are off to bad starts, but everything else is bad. I mean, you just see a lot of bad blocking. A lot of it has to go with the spread offenses, because now you get the candidates coming up from college, and they've never had their hand in the ground. And so unless they change what they want from an NFL offensive lineman, you have more failures than you have successes. And because of that, Seattle can't fix their offensive line. The New York Giants can't fix their offensive line. And you just look up and down the league, it's not good, and it's getting worse.
Well, you know, I was talking about Eli the other day, and I wondered, people say, this is the it for him. And I thought, well, it might be it for him, and I'm not ready to say that, but I don't think they have a running back in sight with the Giants.
I agree. I mean, I've never known that Paul Perkins can be that guy. They seem to have the faith that he can, but it hasn't worked out yet. Now, again, they still have issues on the offensive line because Eric Flowers has been awful. Robert Hart on the other side has not been that great. And they do have, you know, Justin Pugh, who's going to be paid big because, you know, he is a talent and they've got a good center, but that's about it. They don't have that third guy to put them over the top. And so the running lanes aren't open. It forces Eli Manning to get rid of the ball quicker. I mean, because you notice his yards per attempt are down at a very low level. He's just not getting the ball downfield because he doesn't have enough time. Maybe age is creeping in. I don't think it's too bad, but you know, Eli hasn't been on the top of his game for more than a year now.
You know, one of the things, and I have to tell you, I saw absolutely nothing because we haven't had electric for I don't know how long. I mean, clearly about 4 or 5 days here, and so it's been a while since we've seen it. So I was just kind of playing on my phone trying to see who was doing what, but I didn't really get to see anything at all. Tell me a little about some of the teams that are doing well, but in particular, let's look at the Raiders go in to Tennessee, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we like Mariotti and they're at home and blah blah, and they just killed them and went right back home to Oakland.
Yeah, the most stunning part about that is not that they scored 26 points, because they've got a great offense and a great quarterback in Derek Carr.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise is their defense. I was on the sidelines, on the Raiders sidelines, for week four of preseason, and I'm looking there, and I just didn't see enough defensive players. I had no idea who they were going to use at linebacker. Remember, this was a defense that wasn't good last year. Okay, so what ends up happening, they sign one player in free agency and cut him. They have their two top draft choices haven't really been able to play yet. One's on injured reserve, and one's been fighting a shin injury, and yet all of a sudden, things clicked. I mean, Jack Del Rio has done a great job. They do have a pretty good defensive tackle situation, even though it's very thin, but that's the thing that surprised me, how well the defense did against a good running team and a good quarterback.
You know, one of the things, John, is I'm looking through the different games and all that, and one of the things is, obviously, Miami and the Bucs did not play last week, and rightly so. But what do you do now? The fact that they've had 2 weeks off and Miami's going, and they said, all right, we're going to play, I think it's the Chargers or whatever, and the Bucs are going to play Chicago. So I'm thinking to myself, they have 2 weeks. Does that give them more to say we're going to this game? Does it make it much better for them because they do have 2 weeks?
No, I think it makes it tougher, because Think about this. I mean, you know, you saw the struggle in week one where scoring was down, offense was down. I mean, quarterbacks only had 185 yards on the average per game, and that's because you make that transition from preseason where you're not playing much to now a full game, and it has a lot of bumps in the road. The Dolphins haven't had a chance to do that. You know, at least their opponent has been on the field for 1 week, and I think that's a significant advantage. And then if you look at the Dolphins, look at the problems that they have. They're only going to have 6 home games this year because, you know, they tried to appeal to the league to get them out of the London game and have it back at home, so they lose that home game, and then, of course, they lose the home game there. But, of course, in the eyes of the people in Miami, they have bigger things. As you know, being in Florida, it's bad down there. I know that I do a radio hit every Thursday morning in Miami, and they just got back on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, and just about everybody in the studio still doesn't have power. It's bad.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to tell you, because we saw it here, but it was so funny, I have to tell you, we were here. I went down to the beach where I live at the beach, and I saw this tide go out about a half mile, and I thought, "Ooh, this is not going to be good when it comes back in." And it came back in, and it kind of flooded the streets, and it went back out in like 10 minutes. And I know they got killed, and I don't know why we didn't, but for some reason we didn't over here. And that's what every time I think about what's going on over there is so different from what I have here. It's kind of weird. When you think about it, because they were hit so hard, and I thought, we're going to all get clobbered with this, and it didn't happen at all. And John says that they're without power down there still in Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's bad. In fact, I think it's now 22% is it's still out of power in the state. 22%. Think about that.
Well, listen, I can see what's going on, especially if you're in Orlando and things like that. You can figure that out. Excuse me, did I miss something, or what happened with the Rams defense? Did I miss something there, or what happened?
What happened with the Rams defense is the fact they were playing the offense that didn't have Andrew Luck.
Well, that could have been it, yes.
That's the big thing. I mean, right now, the Colts are in bad shape. They've lost so many players in free agency. They don't have their quarterback. Their offensive line's in mess. It's not a good situation.
Well, and it seems to me that that's nice that they do, but you're going to put Brissett in there. Or what's his name? Brissett? Is that his name?
Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
Yeah, I kept calling him, well, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Brissett,
I kept making it up. Biscuit, whatever was his name. But, you know, could you get him before the last, you know, before the last preseason game? And didn't they know they have a problem? I mean, I'm sitting on the other side of the world, and I'm not that interested in Indianapolis, but I know they have a problem with this guy. Couldn't they have seen that 6 months ago or a year ago?
They should have. I mean, because to see how bad the Scott Tolzien played, and who knew Scott Tolzien can play, they should have been prepared for it, and apparently they weren't. I mean, I know this injury is something that surgery is back in January, and now it's probably going to be 5-6 weeks into the season before Andrew Luck surfaces. So, you know, they needed to prepare for it, and right now they look like they haven't.
John, did you hear this thing about he really wanted out of the Colts? Did you hear
I don't buy that. I can see that he's frustrated. You can see that there's probably some tensions there. But remember, he did sign the 5-year contract, and he was the franchise. And so, you know, I think that is probably a little bit of adventure as far as trying to do a story like that, because he is an institution in Indianapolis, and he's the leader of that team.
Well, I agree with that. John, there's a bunch of other games that I have to talk to you about. One of them happens to be Dallas that looks so good against the Giants, and they're going to Denver. I got no problem. I mean, it's funny because they're only favored by a point, and I would think that Dallas is going to kill Denver in that. Am I missing something?
Now you're missing the fact that the Denver defense is really good. Yeah, I know that they cut T.J. Ward, but this defense is sensational. They're as deep and as good at cornerback with the no-fly zone. They're still good up front. They've got good linebackers and good pressure. So, no, this defense is good, and this is a good test to see. You know, it was a big passing mark for Dak Prescott and the offense to be able to win that game against a good Giants defense, but now this is another test. Denver's defense is really good.
Let me ask you about Zeke. It's funny that he played the first game. How much longer can it go that they can bitch at each other and yet he's still playing the games?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, this is one where you just go ahead and do it, because, I mean, Dak Prescott, I think, is a sensational quarterback. I mean, you can see he's already risen to the level where he's going to be in the top 10 in the league as far as talent for quarterback. And so you put that all together with a great offensive line, it gets pretty good.
What the hell are you doing back there, John? I just heard something go flying around. What are you doing over there?
Well, to be honest, you mentioned the right word. A rare fly made it into the house here, and so I just took two papers and I swatted it. That's pretty good to be able to do that while answering a question, though.
Well, did you get him?
I got it.
Well, now I'm even more impressed than ever with you, Doc. I have to tell you that. Like, you know, it's funny because we watched that. You were talking about T.J. Ward, and he ended up with the Bucs, and I think that must be a good thing. That's the way I look at it.
He's a good player. He's a really good player. And so I think that was, in fact, it was funny. The minute, and again, it was a surprise that he was cut because, again, he's one of the better safeties in the league and a strong safety. And you know Tampa Bay's weakness for safeties. That's probably the weakest spot in their team. So I immediately linked them up and said, hey, you watch, he'll go to Tampa. And sure enough, for 1 year, $4 million, he did.
I'll take him for the $4 million. There are teams that we think about that are coming up, and it's not the Dallas, and it's not the, you know, the Packers or anything like that, but it's like the Titans and the Raiders and the Bucks and people that are coming up all the time. Do you see any problems there, or do you think they are coming up?
No, I think they are coming up. I'm still puzzled by the slow start or bad game by the Tennessee Titans. That one caught me off guard. But what I like about Tampa Bay is that, you know, I know that they still needed to add defense, but the fact that they can get O.J. Howard, the fact that they could get Deshaun Watson is only going to make Jameis Winston that much better and make that offense that much better. You know, they still have to buy time to get back and get Doug Martin back in the backfield, because that could be a weakness in the backfield. But overall, that's a good team, and I think that they're on the rise. And, you know, I think the thought going in is, okay, which of the two teams is going to make it first, Tampa Bay or Tennessee? Because both teams seem destined to be able to make the playoffs at some point.
And also what you said about the fact that we kind of are surprised at Mariotti, and somebody else said that they're going against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville has won like the last couple of games or two, you know, three out of four, something like that. And I thought, well, they've already lost one. They got to win this one.
Well, you know, honestly, it's like Jacksonville was the team that I think most people thought. I went last year to see a scrimmage in Jacksonville, Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, and I thought both teams were on the rise, and they are, okay, because you look at Jacksonville, their defense goes from like 26th in points allowed to 6th, and you say there's something going on well there, but Blake Bortles with the turnovers and the offense, it pulled them down. Now if Bortles can just hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette, not make those 6 points turnovers, you know, the pick sixes, you know, Jacksonville with that defense looks good. I mean, the fact that they came out and had 10 sacks against the Houston Texans, that's impressive.
You know, I was looking at some of the bigger games right now, and I think Philadelphia at Kansas City is pretty good, because Kansas City's coming off that win from, 10 days ago. But Philadelphia's going in there, and they have something to prove, too. But I thought, is Alex Smith really going to do this? I don't know what Alex Smith doing that. That's probably not, since it's only the second game. But it seems like everybody thinks Kansas City will win this. And I'm thinking, well, maybe Philadelphia in the other way. Do we like Carson Wentz? Whenever I see him, he's pretty good.
I like him a lot. I think that, he's, you know, basically is a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit of Joe Flacco in him. And that's what I like, because he can roll around. He's tough. He's got good leadership, and he's got a powerful arm. And so you put that with a better group of wide receivers. And that, again, the running backs did not get off to a good start. So that's a little bit of a problem, but they can fix that, because at least they're more talented at running back. But no, I think Philadelphia, I had Philadelphia and maybe San Diego as two teams, or it's not San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers as two teams that can make a turnaround. And the reason for Philadelphia, they were 1-6 in games decided by 8 points or less. Usually, if you have a team like that, they bounce back the next year if they have a quarterback and if they have talent. You know, the Chargers, they were 4-9 in those one possession games. Now, again, if they get some injuries, they have no depth. Philly doesn't have too much depth, but it's a little bit better than last year. But no, I think with Wentz at quarterback, you know, with the defense that they have, and the fact that they're better at wide receiver, I think that they're at the very least they're going to be at 9 wins.
You know, there's a game coming up, and it's Green Bay at Atlanta, and you're thinking, well, Atlanta, you're still wondering what happened there, but they're going to be home for the first time. Did you see the thing where? In the new stadium, what is that, a Mercedes? What is that new stadium in Atlanta, Mercedes? And yeah. Did you see that everything is open and they've got all the food and all that, except on Sunday, Chick-fil-A closes.
That's amazing.
And it's like, it didn't change anything at all. They're going home and that's all there is to it. But what do we see about that? I mean, I think that's a good game and I really want to see what Green Bay and Atlanta have to say there.
Well, having just seen Green Bay, and I was at the Green Bay-Seattle game, they look good. They look better on defense than I ever have thought. But Atlanta, I think, is going to be one of the more improved defenses. I understand they went to the Super Bowl last year, and they were giving up 25 points a game, 25. And so now you come back, and they add Tack McKinley at defensive end, Dontari Poe at defensive tackle. Remember, they also had the success of getting three rookies last year, two at linebacker, one at safety, that are really good and so much faster up the middle. So you put all that together, I think their defense is going to shave like 6 points a game off of what they allow, so they'll be giving up under 20. You know that Matt Ryan can score four touchdown drives in a game. That puts them in a very good state. I was at the Atlanta-Green Bay game last year. It was one of the better games I attended last year. This one's going to be a classic.
You know, one of the things while we're talking about this, and again, I haven't had electric for a number of years. I mean, I'm okay now, but what I'm saying is I didn't see anything. Therefore, I didn't see the Romo thing. What happened with Romo? Was he the greatest commentator we've ever had? It seemed like everybody was crazy for him, but I didn't see any of it.
I didn't get a chance to hear it myself, but he's off to a good start. You know, he seems to be good with his analysis. He seems to be entertaining. You can see that he's going to work hard at it. So you put all that together, I think they're going to be a great success there. I'd still like to see him play quarterback because I know there's still some good football in him, but I'm glad he's made that transition, and I think he's going to be pretty good.
And what about Cutler on the other side? All I know is, like, when he was good, Case was there. In Chicago with him, and so he brought him in because he knows exactly what he's doing, I assume. But what is that going to be like after a while?
I think there's some positive things there because, one, he can still throw the ball, and he's still good at, as a quarterback. And so that's the positive on one side. And then you look at the other is that, he's got a running game, still got some issues at guard because that could hold him back. Just a matter of in the big games, can he win? Because a lot of times he would get into big games and he would not have his best performance. But I think with Adam Gase, who pretty much preaches to him to cut down the interceptions, the mistakes, that works. And so, there was a perfect move. Instead of trying to go for Colin Kaepernick, who deserves to have a job, still the better move was to go ahead and get the quarterback as opposed to the quarterback you don't know. And so that I think there's not going to be much of a drop-off with Cutler going in and replacing Ryan Tannehill.
You know what I find amazing is I sit there and I look at Sam Bradford and he keeps playing, but they're going up against Roethlisberger, who is so good. I'm just like, okay, and they had to play that game, and now they're back doing it again on Sunday. But what about Minnesota and Pittsburgh this week?
Well, Pittsburgh has a distinct edge because they're the better team. I mean, they've got more talent on offense, a better offensive line. Don't underestimate Sam Bradford because he's good. And, he completed a lot, 71.9% of his passes last year, but he also is now throwing the ball a little bit deeper, and that's good. But they have big issues on their offensive line. I don't know how good they are with Riley Reiff. I know the right tackle, Mike Remmers, struggles in pass blocking, and they're still kind of weak in the middle. That's going to be a problem. But they've got a good upgrade with Delvin Cook at running back, not an upgrade from Adrian Peterson, but it looks like he's going to be good. And then, they've got a real good situation right now at wide receiver. So, I think that they're a dangerous team, and they got a great defense. But Pittsburgh's defense looks pretty good, too. And so they've got Ben Roethlisberger.
What happened with Peyton the other day, and he got into it? Was it AJ that he got into it with the other day? And he was yelling at it, and then they were like ignoring each other. But, you know, it seemed like, I think, what was it? Adrian Peterson was behind him, and he was giving him the blues the whole time. And then he turned around and looked at him, but he was mad that he didn't get more, I guess, carries in the whole thing. But I was reading something, I think it was today, where they said, you know, that he's probably gone at some point this year, talking about, I had to laugh because it's such a, he was such a good thing, but he said 2009 and 2013 are over, and now it's 2017, and that's why they're getting out, they're getting rid of Peyton at some point.
Yeah, I don't see that, because the owner really believes in Sean Payton.
Yeah.
He is a talented coach and a guy that you know, has been a great play caller for a long period of time, but the Adrian Peterson move was a strange one. Now, I think there was a little bit of an overrating of what happened, because Peterson's behind Peyton and yelling, get me the ball up the middle, get me the ball up the middle. And Peyton was, I don't know if he didn't hear him or purposely was ignoring him, because it was so bad, because people were asking about the game, and Sean was saying, I didn't have a battle with Adrian. In fact, it got to the point where he actually started texting the writers to say, I'm telling you, I didn't know there was a battle between me and him, because I didn't know it. And so I tend to believe Sean on that one, but you can understand Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson does not like getting the ball in shotgun formation. He hated it in Minnesota the few times that that happened, and he always was able to talk the coach out of it. Well, what's he getting the ball? If he gets the ball, he's getting it in shotgun formation.
Well, and that's the way it is, and it seems to me by now that's the way it goes, so just handle the ball if they give it to you.
Yeah, exactly. But right now with three running backs, you know, you don't know. And that's what I was kind of curious of, because, you know, what, Mark Ingram was one of 13 running backs to have a 1,000-yard season last year. He's not bad. And so now you've given Peterson and a third-round draft choice who catches the ball. It's like, where's all the carries going to come from? And particularly for a team that likes to pass the ball.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, and I'll go back to the Patriots here, you know, it's, you don't want, they say you don't want to make Tom Brady angry. And I can imagine that he's pretty angry. He's going to play at New Orleans, but I, can you just see a shootout the whole time that is going to be like 45 to 40 by the time it's done?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because, I mean, it was, that's just the nature, because, I mean, defensively, the Saints have problems. And of course, you know, offensively, they can do a lot of good things with Drew Brees. So this one could be very high scoring.
Now, you're going to talk to Seattle. Are you just interviewing people, or what are you doing there? Because you're very busy as always.
Yeah, it's a, what I do is that on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and it's ironic because I live right next to the facility, I'll walk over, it's about a 10-minute walk, and grab an interview, and I'll have it on the Friday show, and interviewer two.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my mission. So yeah, I'll be walking over here in a few minutes to get to the Seahawks, and then grab an interviewer two, and then come on back and get wife some lunch.
John, I'm going back in time, I think. What was his name? Tom Flores was there. And I think I was the one that had the balls to say, I want to take the last draft choice. And I remember, and in Seattle, everything is very polite. Okay. And I'm like, hey, I want the last draft choice. And there are people like, what? And he let me have it finally. And I think it was the 12th round. I'll never forget that. And I said, and he, I can't even know who it was, but it was some guy who played like for like 8 years in different places and stuff like that. So I was very proud of myself.
I'm proud of you, too. I've always been proud of you. But
yes.
To be able to make that pick right now, it was probably one of the better picks in that year's draft.
Oh, God, it must have been. Yeah, because poor Rick Meyer was there. Poor baby.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the kind of people. John, I love it. Whenever I talk to you, you guys take care. And we will talk again, because I love talking with you anyway. You know that, John.
Hey, babe, thank you so much.
We love John Clayton. That is why he is the West Coast Bureau Chief of the Global Babe Network. And anytime he wants to come on is fine with me. And he's so busy with all the stuff that he has to do. I've got things to tell you. You know I watch the TV and all that. Somebody said, why don't you go out? Well, you can't. Can you? There's not like a McDonald's or anything. It's like for about 5 miles around here. I mean, I'm sure Jerry lives like right next to the hospital. So needless to say, no electricity went off to him. You know, it went blink and that was it. I'm walking around for how many days going? And I'm just, you know, me, even in the middle of this thing, I'm running around in Irma and I'm swimming in the pool and the wind is blowing. It's like 80 miles an hour. I don't care. Oh, I have to tell you something. I love Forged in Fire. I know you're sick of it, but God, I love that. I love it more than anything else. And I still love Mike Tyson. I want you to know that Jerry, the semi-producer here, I made him watch Mike Tyson, and he said, I will never watch that as long as I live. I think that's the funniest damn show I've ever seen. I swear, I just find, and he just thinks it's, what did your wife say? She will never remember that 5 minutes again, or was that what she, she'll never get the 5 minutes back, but I'm like, it was only 5 minutes. What, I don't understand. You know, if you didn't want to, I got it in the middle of it, but I just love that. Anyway, am I doing other things? Well, I'll tell you what, I did not get to see anything last week when it was time for Sunday because everything went off on Sunday. So I am very interested in sitting down. And of course, you know, I did do the mock drafts and then all of a sudden I got five fantasy football teams. I only wanted two, but I got five again and it's hard for me to even keep up with two. I wonder if that was my unfortunate medical incident. Yeah, well, I guess it was. But it doesn't matter. I'm doing all kinds. Do I die over the fact about Ohio State and Oklahoma? I can't do that. I'm going to watch football, and I know exactly what's going on. Actually, today is Friday, and I am very much looking to watch a lot of football, and more football before we have to do this again. I'm the Babe. It's the Babe Cast. Are you glad or what?
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com and remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.